Roto-Grinders presents the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Bringing you up to the minute industry news.
Time for me to tell you about the biggest tournament in the history of daily fantasy sports.
Interviews from the biggest names in the industry.
The one and only Kondia. Head Chopper joins us now to talk about this weekend in daily fantasy football. Now on the podcast, Napster Man.
And game analysis to save you time and help you build your bankroll.
Both the salary and the matchup are just too good. If you are not playing him in your head-to-head game, you are just going to lose.
Here is your host, the one and only, Dan Bach.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Great to be back here. Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. I am Dan Bach, BB730. Happy to get you set for this Friday night in daily fantasy baseball. We will get to that here momentarily. I do want to kind of give a little bit of commentary on the latest regarding Jason Robbins' investment in RotoQL. I missed yesterday's show, so I didn't get to say anything about it. And then we had kind of some news regarding it. So we'll get to that here in a moment. But also want to remind you, too, coming up next week, 10:30 on Monday morning. So put it in your calendar. We're going to be doing a live hangout with myself, Jason, Paul, and Matt. Those are the three founders of DraftKings. And should be a great conversation. I don't think I've ever sat down with all three of them before, so that's kind of unique. And it's going to be an opportunity for us to look back at the 5 years, what they've kind of built there with DraftKings, what's going on now, and then what's going to happen in the future. So it should be a great conversation. You know, I try to like tell it like it is and ask the important questions. If there's something that you want to hear in particular from them, feel free to reach out to me via social media, email, private message on RotoGrinders. But I think it'll be a good one, and I'm looking forward to doing that on Monday morning. So check that out, 10:30 Eastern time. We'll be on Grinders Live. We'll obviously convert it into a podcast and everything as well. But if you want to catch it in person, that's the best avenue to do it. Before we get to the slate, quickie commentary on the Robbins RotoQL thing. If you don't know what that's regarding, well, let me quickly catch you up to date. I believe it was Wednesday afternoon. There was a press release out that the content site RotoQL had secured like $1.2 million of investment capital, you know, seed capital. And one of the lead investors in that company was Jason Robbins. This, of course, was according to the RotoQL press release that went out, and that was published pretty much everywhere. And immediately, you know, the kind of alarms kind of started going off in people's heads saying, hey, what's going on here? Because if you don't know, RotoQL is the content site that Sahil Sood started up, I don't know, maybe a year or two ago. And it really felt, by most people's standards, it was a pretty big conflict of interest to have literally the highest earning player, the guy that provides the most rake for DraftKings, to have his company be invested in by the CEO of DraftKings, and thought that even if there was nothing negative meant by the investment, it certainly was really, really bad optics. And if it was bad optics by people within the industry, you can't imagine how it would be looked at by people outside of the industry, especially people who don't particularly care for it. And that was the big thing. And I think it pretty much stunned everybody that it kind of took place. And obviously that's something that I'm just still surprised it even happened to begin with, because you would have thought that somebody along the lines, whether it was even RotoQL or if it was Jason, would say, yeah, you know what, this just doesn't look good. Even if there are no ill intentions here, a lot of people could look at it as, you know, scratching one guy's back. I've heard other people speculate that, you know, this was an avenue for DraftKings to integrate RotoQL without them buying the company, so therefore Sahil could still play on the site. I mean, there was a whole bunch of different people's takes on this thing. I never really believed any of that side of things. I almost felt like it was a different type of play in the long term when you looked at the kind of investors that were out there. But regardless, it probably shouldn't have happened. And then yesterday afternoon, Jason came out and basically said, hey, I'm going to sell my shares in that. Clearly, this is something that, you know, is bothering players, and players are my number one priority. And he's going to basically divest from that small, by it seems like a very small investment he had anyway. And I don't necessarily think the amount matters. I just think we live in a world today where we've already been burned on negative optics. And that, of course, was, you know, the Ethan Gate, the Ethan leak that took place when, you know, he provided, what was it, ownership details on DraftKings, and then that same week won a whole bunch of money on FanDuel. There was no connection between the two, but the media made it out to be a much bigger deal than it was, and ultimately really put the industry on the brink of, you know, of failing and going under. Something as small and trivial as that, something that really didn't even affect anything, that there was real no impropriety that went on, but again, nearly brought the industry down. So I think all of us look at everything that happens here and says, hey, it's not always just important about what is really going on or what is really right. It's how does it look to other people, whether it be lawmakers, whether it be attorney generals, whether it be people who are trying to bring the industry down. And I think that's where that problem kind of lied more than anything there, because I just have a hard time believing it was scratch my back, you know, I'll scratch yours type situation. But I still think Jason probably should have known better. But we'll talk to him about that on Monday. That's one of the things that we're obviously going to discuss. Just thought that at least, you know, the right thing was done in the end. Should it have happened to begin with? Probably not. But in the end, it's not anything that, you know, lasted literally 24 hours. So I don't think it's something worth making too big of a deal about, since it was rectified and in the proper light. But we'll obviously ask him about that next week. So just definitely want to give my two cents on it, and at least commend him for doing the right thing in the end. All right, let's get to baseball for tonight. And before we do that, I want to say a quick thank you to a sponsor. We've got Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. When it comes to those big decisions, like choosing a mortgage lender, it's important to work with somebody that you feel like has your best interest in hand. And with Rocket Mortgage, you're going to get a transparent online process to give you the confidence to make an informed decision. Don't waste time searching through stacks of paperwork. With Rocket Mortgage, you can securely share your financial info to get a mortgage approval in minutes. And you can even adjust the rate, length of your loan in real time, and make sure you get the mortgage solution that's right for you. Whether you're looking to buy a home, refinance an existing mortgage, you can lift the burden of getting a home loan with Rocket Mortgage. Skip the bank, skip the waiting, go completely online at quickenloans.com/roto. quickenloans.com/roto, equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS consumer access.org number 3030. All right, let's get into it tonight. Major League Baseball. We'll start with our pitchers. And obviously, if you're playing on FanDuel, you get one. DraftKings Fantasy Draft, you get two. And I think the guy that's probably going to be the chalk today, and rightfully so, is going to be Corey Kluber. He gets a White Sox offense, which has just been absolutely dreadful this season, particularly to right-handed pitching. And, you know, Kluber right now checks in at a solid, solid 165 road favorite. And, you know, if I'd be willing to bet we're going to see that number probably tick up into the 180s by the time. It's 158 is where I'm seeing on the lineups page. I think he could be like 180 when it's all said and done. So I like him immensely here today. Again, salary-wise, 9,900 on FanDuel, easy to make work. I mean, there's value out there. But even at 9,900, you know, the mock lineup I made, you know, I've got four guys over 3K, and another guy at 29, 28, and 28. So, like, it's pretty easy to make it work today with Kluber. I think he's the chalk for cash, and I don't see a big reason to pivot off of him in that format. And then on DraftKings and Fantasy Draft, where you've got multiple pitchers, it's a little bit, you know, more of a discussion to have, because there are a number of other really good pitchers on the mound today. You've got the lowest team total on the night is the Washington Nationals as they take on the New York Mets, and it'll be interesting to see if Murphy's in the lineup tonight. I'm not really on DeGrom tonight. You know, he is literally coming off maybe his best start of his career this last time out against the Marlins, and he always pitches well in Miami. You know, he's a Florida guy, and his track record down there is really, really impressive. So I don't really see him striking out, what was it, 13 like he did that past game. Washington still has a pretty elite offense. Rourke is not a gas can by any measure either, so it's not like the Mets bats are locked in for a huge, you know, run support anyway. So I don't see a reason to pay up for him tonight. Certainly, like I say, Kluber's my hands down number one. I think the question is whether or not you want to pay up for a guy like Justin Verlander tonight. He's got elite strikeout stuff, was one of the tops in the league a year ago. Twins, I think they're fine in the strikeout department. Like, there's certainly plenty of strikeouts to be had there. But a road start here against an offense which has certainly faced him a good bit. Yeah, there's Joe Mauer, BVP, if you want to be a believer there. My big thing with him is salary-wise. You know, he's only $500 less on FanDuel and on DraftKings. You know, he is he's a bit pricier over there as well. So I just feel like there are some cheaper arms on DraftKings and Fantasy Draft that I would rather go to so I can spend up, because there are bats in really good spots today. There are big names that I want to get into my lineup. So I'm usually a big proponent of, you know, spending up on pitcher, getting those points, but I don't think we really have to today. And, you know, I think there's another, maybe a better argument to be made for John Lester today against Cincinnati. We've seen guys like Wade Miley shut this Reds team down, and Lester checks in super strong favorite today. I think maybe the biggest on the slate at minus 180. The one worry you have, as always with Lester, is, you know, if guys get on base, they're going to run all over them. And, you know, it's even more prevalent with guys like Billy Hamilton and Peraza at the top of that lineup. And Hamilton inexplicably with two home runs against John Lester in his career. I don't know how that happened, but, you know, Hamilton's not a bad play tonight. Again, if he gets on base, he's going to pretty much make value for you. It's just whether or not that is going to happen here today. You know, there's some rain potential issues out there in Cincinnati. We'll see. But for me, you know, I think I'm going to probably pay down to on DraftKings. You know, Drew Pomeranz is just too cheap over on DraftKings today, sitting at, I think he's, what, 7,700? Let me bring up their salaries real quick, since, you know, that's where we're looking here. Yeah, 6,700, $1,000 cheaper on DraftKings than FanDuel. And maybe not the best spot road game out there in Baltimore. Obviously, Baltimore this year, they've been striking out more versus lefties, but sample size is really small. It's just that the strikeout upside is huge for Pomeranz. I mean, we saw it in, I think, that last start versus Tampa. You know, ended up, ended up having 10 strikeouts there against the Rays, had six in the game before that in six innings, and had that 10 Ks in just four. So it's just whether or not, I don't know if I'm throw him in cash, because again, there is a lot of risk involved with him at that number, but I really like the bats that it gives you. So I think Kluber's your lock and load, and then you can maybe, you know, filter, or not filter, but, you know, fill in with a Pomeranz today. I think Glasnow is kind of sneaky interesting here tonight as well against the Yankees, especially FanDuel. He is so cheap over there. And admittedly, this guy has major control problems. And, you know, in the same vein where I say, I don't hate Glasnow, I don't hate a Yankee stack, because if Gardner or Ellsbury or anybody gets on against him, they're going to be running all over the place. But I don't think he's as bad as we've seen early on this season. This guy's a really highly touted prospect, and I'll be curious to see the umpire that we get in this one. If he is advantageous to the pitcher, you might give him a little bit of a look here today. You've got a pretty even line between these two teams, and the guy does have nice K upside. Dirt cheap on DraftKings as well at 6.6. Pomeranz a little bit, you know, about that same price, but FanDuel. That's where he's really dirt cheap over there. So if you want, you know, a unique lineup, you're going to get one. If you want Coors Field tonight, both sites did a good job jacking the prices up there. It's hard to get those guys in if you're going to roll with Kluber or Verlander or DeGrom. So that's your path to, I think, really maybe building a unique lineup for tournaments, not in cash games, I think, there. The other couple of arms that I'm kind of interested in today, let's see, where is it? You know, this Alex Meyer for the Angels, intriguing. This guy really, really had some nice strikeout numbers in the minor leagues. I don't know how long he's going to go into this game, but I think he's going to get major run support here because Matt Latos is a dog. He's not good. I think we're going to see the Angels score a bunch of runs. So I think there's definitely quality start and win upside in Alex Meyer. And another guy, 4.7 over on DraftKings. You're like, that is just like a gimme price tag there. Again, it's a path to Coors Field tonight on that site. So I think he's price per dollar going to work out all right for you over there because he's a pretty decent prospect, and I love the K upside. And right now, Toronto in an absolute rut. Awful against right-handed pitching, just awful overall. And they're going to break out of it, but you know, is this the spot for it? I believe it's the first game on the road trip going, you know, east to west. Probably not in my estimation, but he's a guy that stood out. And then maybe Adam Conley as well. If you get a little bit nervous with the blow-up potential there in Pomeranz, Conley's a guy to maybe consider out there in San Diego. You know, he's a small favorite in this one, but a great ballpark for him. You know, Trevor Cahill opposite of him, not a huge pitcher in his own right, and K numbers were pretty decent on Conley a year ago, so he's a guy at 7K like I really think you can be comfortable with. Maybe a better cash game play where Pomeranz gives you the GPP upside that you might be looking for. All right, let's go to the bats, and we'll start at the catcher position. And here's the one thing that you're going to see a constant of in my kind of analysis of the slate. The Dodgers are extremely underpriced for being out there in Arizona. FanDuel, DraftKings, neither of those sites juiced up the players from that game high enough. So you're going to hear a lot of Dodgers talk, and it's going to start at the catcher's position with Yasmani Grandal. I mean, the one thing you look at on our projections page, it's got the projected lineup order for the catchers. And this is what we've got. 7th, 9th, 7th, 9th, 7th, 7th, 8th, 1-4th with Real Muto, 7th, 6th, 9th, 9th. Like all these catchers, and there's nobody really hitting in the middle or top of that order. And for me, that's why you know, I look squarely to a guy like Yasmani Grandal today and feel like he is probably going to be the chalk play today, batting 5th against Taijuan Walker. Just an amazing ballpark to hit in. So he's a guy I really like today. If you don't want to go there, Stephen Vogt at 27. I don't love Oakland tonight, but I love playing the lefty-righty splits with Vogt, and he's a guy who can hit more towards the top of the order. That's what we're looking for in cash games, is for it to turn over a little bit. So if we can get him batting 4th or 5th, that's not a bad spot. So Stephen Vogt against Iwakuma today. Cheap price tag at 27. Obviously, you'd love Buster Posey out there in Coors Field, but it's 4,500. They're making you really pay up to get him today. But if you're using a scrub pitcher, I'm fine with that because he's going to have really low ownership. So, and then the Houston catchers, McCann or Gattis, priced fine at 29.3K. I don't mind Alex Cobb. I don't think he's a bad pitcher. I don't think he's somebody we really need to pick on here tonight. So I'm not looking to get too heavy of exposure there. So mainly Vogt and mainly Grandal going to be my top two targets at that position today. I think first base is really intriguing tonight, because you do have value options at this position. Then you've got some elite pay-up plays as well. And we'll start with, and even a middle-tier guy. Let's start with the middle-tier, because my shell lineup, which I build before I do these shows, has Matt Carpenter plugged in right now against Willy Peralta. You know, he's a guy with elite splits, 250 ISO versus righties. He's got solid BVP against Willy Peralta. He's got a ballpark upgrade, and he's only 2,900. Like, everything just kind of lines up for him to be a solid cash game play. Again, DraftKings, he's sitting at 4,700, so their algorithm is very fond of him today. So Matt Carpenter, for me, I think is probably the guy that I'm leaning towards the most. But we've got Paul Goldschmidt versus a lefty at home, and you know that's the split that we almost always play, and it's, you know, one that just works out really, really, really well most of the time. And when he's 4,900 or 5K in that split, you're like, oh man, it's paying up. But he's only 4,300 today on a night where you can really make it work because there's some value options for us in a few other spots. So that's my struggle today, is Carpenter or Goldschmidt in cash. Right now I got Carpenter pegged in there, but I've got no problem if you want to go up to Goldie. This is, you know, those are those situations where you look for and you just play them when they're in it. And it's not like Alex Wood is a shutdown pitcher by any measure. High total in that game of what, I think 9.5. So yeah, like getting some exposure to Arizona is fine, absolutely today. So that's my biggest question right now, or one of my biggest questions in cash. But we've got other alternatives today. I think that I really like Anaheim tonight. I really do. I think that they're a sneaky stack today, and you've got both Pujols and CJ Cron to choose from. 2.7 for Pujols, 2.2 on DraftKings. We'll see what that lineup looks like, but I'm fine with either of these two options. Matt Latos is not good. He doesn't strike anybody out, pitches to contact, and you know, a total of 8.5 out there this time of year for a night game in Anaheim is setting some alarms off in my head. You know, usually those numbers come in at 7, 7.5, maybe 8. When you get to 8.5 or 9, again, I think there's home runs to be had versus Latos. So both those guys are kind of interesting to me. Again, Agon underpriced at 2.7 tonight. If you want to go there, I've got no issue with that. Gregory Bird versus Glasnow, batting fifth likely at 2.7, a nice little value option. And, you know, Rizzo and Encarnacion, those are the other guys I'm kind of looking at today. Probably just playing them for GPPs, but I think they both have very decent likelihood of hitting a home run today. I mean, man, especially you look at Rizzo, 4,200 on FanDuel, 5,300 on DraftKings, where E5 only 3,900 over on DraftKings. So that DK algorithm in love with Anthony Rizzo and the Cubs today. Don't really blame them. Moving on to second base, and again, a couple of options for us to maybe consider here. And I was, again, debating between really just two main options, and they're Ben Zobrist at 2.8, likely batting cleanup in a great hitter's ballpark, feels underpriced, and then Ian Kinsler today, another guy that I love playing against lefties. You know, the WOBA's at 390, the ISO's 237 versus left-handed hitters over his last, what, almost 200 at-bats, 173 at-bats. And for his career, he's been a lefty masher. Top of the order. I rolled right now in my shell lineup. I got Kinsler in there. But if you want to save, Zobrist is a very fine option tonight to consider. So those are my top two for cash. I think Odor against Carnes at 3.1 looks like good value. Texas has a pretty high team total today. I think Carnes is quite garbage, but a good ballpark for him to hit in, and just feels a little bit underpriced there on FanDuel today at 3.1. And that's probably all I'm looking at today. If you want to get cute, call me crazy, but I think Cesar Hernandez is going to do something against Bartolo Colon. But I'm anti-old guy, so my old guy bias is definitely prevalent there in that one. And then Jonathan VR against Adam Wainwright. Oh, by the way, how did I forget Eric Thames at first base? I mean, this guy's game log is just freaking sick right now. I mean, it is truly unbelievable to see what what he's been doing at the plate. He is locked in, probably doesn't do him justice right now. If you wanted to play him, you're absolutely smart to do so. It's like pitch around moment right now for Eric Thames. And Wainwright, yeah, he's not what he used to be. So I've got no problem with that play at all tonight. All right, let's move on to third base. And again, there's two guys on the high end that I'm looking at. And one is, of course, Chris Bryant today at 4.1. Bryant just feels like he is in a really good spot here against, you know, the Reds, and, you know, fine against righties, if not better against righties. Adelman doesn't scare me at all. Top of the order. Everything lines up. You can make it work. But I wanted to pay up in the outfield in a couple of the other spots, so I kind of came off of Bryant, but I might even go back to him because I feel like he's so good. Like, very good chance he hits a home run tonight. And then Turner is a guy to look at, just elite numbers versus righties in a premier ballpark. 314 average, 398 wOBA, 266 ISO versus right-handed pitching, and moves to, you know, one of the best ballparks, one of the highest team totals, I believe the highest team total on the slate today, even higher than the Cubs. So on DraftKings, he is a plug-and-play. He is the same price on DraftKings as he is on FanDuel. On FanDuel, it's, what, 400 more to go up and get Bryant, and that's a debate you've got to have as a player, is do you just go up and get Bryant, or do you play Turner where he might be a little bit overpriced based on, you know, per point? Like, FanDuel is typically, you want guys are almost always going to be cheaper on FanDuel than they are DraftKings, but when they're the same price, that just shows you something's way off on that DraftKings algorithm tonight. So Turner, play him over there in your cash games for sure. And then, you know, you can move down, and there's two guys in the middle to low tier that I'm looking at, and Mikel Franco against Bartolo Colon, he kind of fits, you know, he fits my lineup at this moment. He's got really bad BVP. I think he's like 1-for-16 against Bartolo Colon in his career, and, you know, Franco's not an old guy, hasn't been around forever, so some of those stats should be within the last couple of years. The problem is, I looked at his profile, and he's a guy who doesn't really miss a lot of bats, or miss a lot of fastballs, like 9% whiff rate on fastballs, which is really low, so he should be making contact. You know, only 3 strikeouts in those 16 at-bats, and, but 1-for-16 is, you know, I probably shouldn't worry about it, but it does worry me a little bit. But I just don't think Colon is that good. I know his last start was incredible. He absolutely, you know, dominated 7 innings and only gave up 1 hit that last game, 6 Ks. But Franco's a guy, wouldn't shock me one bit to take him deep. He's been fine against right-handed pitching, and he's a guy that I'm looking at. And then Jed Jerko against Willie Peralta. Peralta gives up a ton of fly balls and home runs. That's what Jerko does well. So hits a little bit low in the order, I think, for cash, but certainly an option for you in your GPPs tonight. I think we have the biggest chalk on the slate maybe at shortstop today, and I think his name is Corey Seager. Mashes right-handed pitching, gets the park upgrade and a salary that's just way too reasonable at, what, I think 3,200 over on, or 3,500 over on draft or on FanDuel tonight. So I like him a good bit. I think he's playable on every site, every format. I think he is the best shortstop option for us tonight. If you're looking for pivots on the cheap, Diaz against Peralta, 2.8K, batting at the top of that lineup. Yes, please. We've got Jordy Mercer against CC Sabathia. You know, Sabathia is a guy who I lost a lot of money last year, literally stacking against every single start. Like, he was awful 2 years ago. And then last year, somehow, he just realized how to get a lot of soft contact. And so far, it's kind of carried over. But Jordy Mercer at 2.2 leading off, maybe against Sabathia, you can do a lot worse. I'm even fine with Mercer on DraftKings today at 3K leading off against him. So I don't think we need to stack against CC because he hasn't been giving up a lot of hard contact. But if you got a value option, he's, you know, I'm fine taking a guy against him when the splits certainly match up like they do today. So he's a kind of min salary punt for you if you want to get off of chalky Corey Seager. Like I mentioned, Diaz, and that's probably about it. I'm not talking a lot about Coors. Prices on Coors are really, really up there. So I probably won't be doing that unless it's stacks for GPPs today. I don't feel like those guys are fitting into my cash games really at all tonight. All right, let's get to outfield, where Andrew Tolles continues to be too cheap, $2,300 on FanDuel, and also, you know, way too cheap on DraftKings as well. And Tolles really profiles well against righties. You know, 145 at-bat sample size, 317 average, 379 WOBA, and a 193 ISO. So leading off with the ballpark upgrade, like, absolutely, Andrew Tolles, FanDuel, DraftKings. He's a, you know, cash game lock for me tonight. The guy who's popping on a lot of projection models today because he's so cheap and Willy Peralta sucks so bad is Matt Adams. I don't even know if he's going to be in the lineup, but if he would crack it today, he's just, you know, a free option for you on FanDuel at 2.1. Again, you don't have to do that one tonight because Tolles is 200 more and you don't need to double punt maybe at the outfield, but in GPPs, he's going to be a fine little dart play if he's in the lineup here today. So, got to wait on that one. And then the other two values for you on FanDuel, Guyer and Peterson. Guyer, if he's at, you know, batting second, third, something like that, against Quintana, I'm fine. He's probably not, though. Kipnis is coming back today, so Kipnis is probably going to go back in that two-hole, and we're probably not going to get Guyer until, like, 7 or 8 in the lineup order. So for that reason, probably much rather those other two guys. And then even Jock Peterson today, huge ballpark upgrade, the, you know, lefty-righty matchup against Walker, and just too cheap at $2,500. Definitely a great GPP option and not unplayable in cash. The guy I paid up for in the outfield in my lineup today is Nelson Cruz. Kind of like very similar to Paul Goldschmidt. When he just faces a lefty, you just want to play him. And then when you consider how well he's really hitting right now, you really want to play him. And when he's under 4K, you really want to play him. I mean, this is a guy who's given you, let's see, 9 fantasy points or more in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of his last 7 games, and now gets Sean Manea today, which advantaged Nelson Cruz there in that one. So Cruz, a guy I'm interested in. Middle tier, two guys I like. Yasmani Tomas today rakes against right-handed pitching. How much, you ask? Well, one last 150 at-bats, 350 average. Average, 454 in the WOBA, 309 in the ISO. Like, those are elite numbers versus righties for Tomas. So I don't blame you one bit if you want to plug him into your lineups tonight. Cole Calhoun, I think, is intriguing. Nobody's going to play him tonight. And I love stacking up against Matt Latos today. And he's a guy near the top of the order at 2.6K. Really cheap on FanDuel. DraftKings a little bit higher at 3.7. So he's not a freebie over there by any measure. But that makes me like him on FanDuel even more if the DK algorithm is into him tonight. So I love him in that middle tier. And those are it. Those are the guys. I mean, Schwarber. That's the guy. Like 3-6 today against Adelman, batting leadoff. Just too cheap. FanDuel or DraftKings got him up to $4,900 today. And, I mean, he should be 4K on FanDuel. And he's $3,600. So he's not as cheap as he was. He was like 32 not that long ago. But, you know, you love, somebody brought this up the other day on XM, you know, those, it's one thing to be at the top of the order, but it's even that much better when it's top of the order and you're the road team, because you're guaranteed to get that 9-inning at bat. If you're the home team, obviously, if you are in the lead, there's a chance maybe you don't get that last at bat because they don't play the bottom of the ninth. Well, Schwarber's going to get that 9th-inning at bat, so advantage to him, 3.6K, just too darn cheap. That, you know, a guy that I'm certainly looking at. And I'm fine with Ellsbury, Gardner, and GPPs. I don't really see me going there in cash games tonight. Same with Billy Hamilton. Love him for GPPs tonight. And he's probably playable in cash just because if he gets on, you know, you're locked and loaded for a stolen base. Like, no ifs, ands, or buts. Like, he can run a pitch out and he'll still steal against John Lester. So that's something that's really interesting, even for against a tough pitcher here tonight. But there you go. That's it. That's the rundown. That's what I got for you. on this Friday night. Should be a fun night. Going to fire at some tournaments more than I usually do because I love these full slates. I think there's some low-dollar or low-owned stacks today. Favorite low-owned stack today going to be the Angels for me against Matt Latos. So we'll see if that pans out. But that does it. Thanks so much for listening, downloading. Find us on iTunes. Leave us a review, please, if you could. Also on YouTube. That's another good place for you to find all of our content and give us those little thumbs up. And remember, subscribe to that YouTube channel if you haven't done so already. And we'll be back on Monday. Thank you so much for listening and enjoying the podcast. I'll be back on XM myself from 6 to 7 Eastern. We've got Grinders Live rolling at 3:30 all the way up until 7 o'clock tonight. And till then, enjoy your night. Enjoy your weekend. Catch you back on Monday. Remember, 10:30 on Monday, live with the DK founders over there on Grinders Live, and it will be the daily podcast that day for this fantasy fix. But till then, talk to you later, everybody. See you.